Good evening and welcome to this service tonight where we're celebrating the induction of Joshua Michelson as our new minister here in Kemney. We've waited a wee while, but we are delighted to have you with us, Joshua and Heather. The unmistakable arrival of Jesus signalled a new beginning as God entered history in a personal way, making it clear through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that he is on our side. Hard to believe? Too good to be true? We are walking in this faith here in Kemney from our varied backgrounds. We know that this is something too good not to share. We're discovering that God is in charge in all that we do here. And this evening, we welcome Joshua and Heather. We're glad you're joining our team, offering some leadership to this motley crew. I hope you don't mind, folks. But we come from a variety of backgrounds, of church backgrounds, so we're an interesting crowd to get to know. I'm sure you'll enjoy us, and we will enjoy you. We believe that God has called you here, and we want to work with you in the mission field that is Kemney. To all who are gathered here tonight, we welcome you to our church in this parish of Kemney, to the Presbytery of Gordon, and welcome to Scotland. There may be some of you who are here on holiday as well, who knows? Thank you for coming to share this evening with us. We know that the Lord is in this place, and he invites us to encourage, to share together as we worship him in song. And the song, Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in you. And in the second verse, we're reminded that where things are impossible, by faith they can be made possible. Let's sing, Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in you.
Yeah.
as we worship our Lord in the beauty of holiness, let us bow down in prayer before him now. Lord, for this day, with all that it has meant to each of us, the good, the bad, the easy, the difficult, we step aside now to be with you. And we give you thanks for this place in Scotland, in Aberdeenshire, in Kemnay, the beauty of our surroundings. Help us to stop, look, listen, smell, taste, and feel that God is all around us, and give thanks. For those who are unable to be with us tonight in body but are with us in spirit, we give thanks. For a new beginning in our walk with you, Lord, thank you. For the safe arrival of Joshua and Heather, thank you, Lord. For the ministry of Norrie, thank you, Lord. As we quietly examine ourselves before you, Lord, help us to listen to your gentle voice of rebuke and correction and be willing to be changed to be a bit more like you, less of self, more of you, Lord. We are part of your church, a people, a place for sinners to come to be forgiven and healed. Lord, for your great works of love, compassion, and mercy within each of us, thank you. And as we continue to worship you, Lord, in song, word, and silence, be with us and guide us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Some readings from God's Word. The first is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And I'm sorry, I haven't looked up the numbers on pages in your pew Bibles. But it's Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. This was just after Joshua had been asked by the Lord to lead the people of Israel. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And in Psalm 43, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are my God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And the Gospel reading you'll find in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, the first 17 verses. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to us. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown on the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my commandment: love one another. Amen, and may God bless, add his blessing to the reading from his word. Let's join together in praise again. The church is wherever God's people are praising. It's the people, not just the buildings.
Yeah. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. It might surprise you, looking at me now, to realise that I was once a very fit young man. Now I struggle almost to climb stairs in a pulpit. Well, it's not quite that bad. I played tennis almost every night of the summer and two times a week in the winter, weather permitting. I represented my faculty at university for football and hockey. I was a swimmer who won trophies in my time and a reasonable squash player. It went downhill when I arrived in Moneymusk. In my youth, I was so fit, I entered the very first Dundee Marathon. Not long after the London Marathon had begun, many cities around the country tried to jump on the bandwagon, and so did Dundee. I think they managed to have three of them before they dropped it as people lost interest. And just in case you're thinking, no, the Dundonians weren't eating all the pies. There were other things to do in the great city of discovery. You may think, by what I've just said, that I ran the marathon. But the truth is, though I entered it, I never made it to the starting line. In these days, when it was all new, the organisers gave to every entrant a booklet about getting ready for the marathon. Good running shoes, free-flowing vest and shorts. You didn't want to get marathon nipples, as it was caused, damaged by the friction of T-shirt on your skin. A set of advice notes about training and eating from Brendan Foster and David Black, no less, who was involved with the London Marathon. And I began my training. Around the streets where I lived on the edge of Camperdown Park in Dundee, and started slowly and built up my stamina. I recall, even now more than 30 years after the event, the moment my training reached 10 miles. I was elated. I had run 10 miles with no real problems, but then it suddenly hit me. This was not even halfway round the required distance. And I decided to give up in front of a plumber's yard in Dundee there and then, and never ran again. Not because I didn't think I would do it, but it was just so boring. Just running along the streets. Now, I know that some people find it a great release, this jogging lark, but I just found it terribly boring. One foot in front of another, in front of another, in front of another. And in these days, I couldn't afford a portable music device to listen to, so I just had to look at the beauty of the streets around Dundee in the council estate where I was running. And perhaps that put me off. It was, I have to say, one of the things in the guidelines that I didn't follow. As the guidelines said, train in groups or in pairs. so you could encourage one another. I, as I often do in life, thought I could do it on my own. Maybe if I had a running partner, it would not have been so boring. Or maybe I wouldn't have dropped out because of wanting to support her or him. But I did. I just felt that was enough. And I dropped out. And a few years later, I was called to the ministry. And just over 23 years ago, arrived in Moneymusk, which has been the ruin of me. No tennis, no sports, but lots and lots of fine pieces. And you can see the result. Joshua, as you will find once you are settled in, I wear a lot of hats for the church. As minister of your neighbouring congregations of Clooney and Moneymusk, as Presbytery clerk for our presbytery, I represent Presbytery at a number of events and am part of the regional interim ministry task group. Interim ministry is a specialised ministry where a minister will lead a congregation often after it's gone through some form of difficulty. That can be the death of a minister, a crisis within a congregation, or a very long ministry. It's a very important and necessary form of ministry within our church. But one of the criteria that a congregation have to fulfill as it seeks an interim ministry, it could be that they've had a long ministry. And the Church of Scotland defines now a long ministry as a being in one charge for more than 15 years. The reason I suspect for this is that congregation and minister can become stuck in their ways. And so a new minister coming in might have difficulties doing things differently than the way it's always been done for a generation. I have a certain degree of acceptance and understanding for this. But I also think that ministry is about getting to know people. It's about sharing with them in good times and sad times alike. It's about knowing your parish and being known there. To me, it's a long-term vision. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Brendan Foster and David Black gave me and all those who entered the first Dundee Marathon some advice, some of which I followed, some of which I ignored. The main advice that I recall was take it slowly, build up the miles. Don't expect to do everything at one go. Build the stamina and the miles will follow. In my time as a minister, I have seen some new ministers forget that ministry is a marathon, not a sprint. They start at 100 miles an hour, wanting to do everything right away. They want to meet their members, change their worship patterns, take up a role in presbytery, and it's flat out all the time. They don't take their days off, telling me it's a way of life, not a job. And they soon get tired and worn out or exhausted. And life becomes hard because they have set a pattern which their folk, I suspect lightly, think this is what we can expect forever. I would advise caution. That you pace yourself, slowly building up, otherwise you will hit the wall, as they say in marathons. I never reached that point, when the body just shuts down. I received that booklet, giving me a guidance for marathons, and I've chosen three passages from Holy Scripture that I believe are important guidelines for ministry and for Christian living. Joshua, and I mean the follower of Moses, not our new minister of Kemney, had been a trusted supporter of Moses. He had never lost faith, even in difficult times. And when Moses died, it was Joshua who would lead the people into the promised land. And that opening chapter of Joshua, for me, says much about our need for God. This was a man of great stature, of real faith in God. But even men like that need encouragement, and God supplies it. Listen to God speak to us through these couple of verses. Be determined, God says, and be confident, and make sure that you obey the law of Moses. Study it day and night, and you will be prosperous and successful. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." So my first piece of advice this evening is to study the Word of God. Be confident in it and know that God is with us always. So in the busyness of a new ministry about to begin, or in the journey of faith that we are all on, I urge you, study God's Word. And in the highs and in the lows of life, don't get discouraged. Know that God is with us all. But my second piece of advice comes from the words of the psalmist. I would be surprised if there's anyone in church tonight who at some point in their journey of faith has not felt even for a moment that attack by the evil one, which makes you think, "Where is God? God has abandoned me." Ministers, I know, feel that. So do folk in the pews. It's hard not to at times of difficulty, times of stress, times of fatigue, times of illness or bereavement, to wonder, "Where is God?" To those who say, "But I've never felt that way," as if it's a badge of honour, I say, "But even our Saviour on the cross cried out, 'My God, why have you abandoned me?'" The psalmist warns that we're all going to face that time of torment and trial. And can you not hear the anguish when he cried out, "You're my protector. Why have you abandoned me?" But these words are followed by a plea. Not a plea of, "Let me feel great again," nor "Make me a winner," but a plea. "Send your light and your truth. May they lead me." To us, in the family of the church, we know who we cry out to. The one who is the way, the truth, and the light, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The psalmist, once the light and the truth were shining on him, finished by saying, "I will put my hope in God, and I will praise my Saviour and my God." The guidelines say, in our journey of life, when to use that marathon image when we hit the wall, that we will get through it by leaning on our Saviour. And when our eyes grow dim, maybe with the tears of sadness, then the light of his truth will lead us once more to wipe the tears from our eyes and to lift our hearts in praise for our Saviour and our God. Paul in prison in Philippi would sing praise to God. Ian White captured it in a song. "In each circumstance," he wrote, "that I find myself, I will praise his name." It's not easy. We know it's not. But it is the way forward. And my final two parts of advice come from that wonderful gospel lesson, the image of the vine. I'm a hopeless gardener. I neither have the time, but honestly not the inclination, nor the patience for gardening. Some plants grow, some years they don't. Some years I prune what I shouldn't do, and other years I don't prune what I should. And every so often I look at my garden and get frustrated, and I take the hedge clippers to things and hope that it will all grow back next year. But Jesus has the time and the inclination and the knowledge to know what to cut and what to prune. To prune these branches that are not bearing fruit so that new branches will grow and produce what is expected of them. But the branch will only bear fruit if it's connected to the vine, which has taken its goodness from the soil through the roots. And you know the words. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. You can do nothing without me." How many of us, in our arrogance, forget that on our journey of faith to bear fruit, we must first be grounded in Jesus and his word. At times, more times than I should really admit to, I do. Jesus says, unless we are rooted in him, we shall not bear fruit, and the branches will be broken off and cast into the fire as worthless. It's a bit frightening, but it's a lesson we can never forget. But as we're taking that in, let's follow that passage just a few more verses, which the advice Jesus gives us for living and for faith. He said, I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Joy is what he's offering. Not sentimental love, not having a laugh, but deep, lasting joy in his presence. I'm sure, or I hope and I pray, that you all here gathered are joyful in the presence of the Lord, and that you can feel and know his presence and his love. And as people of faith, be it minister, elder, member, adherent, I say rejoice in the Lord and remember the greatest of his commandments. Love one another as I first loved you. I began this possibly rambling address by telling you of my earlier days as a sportsman. And I want to finish with that image. I gave up marathon training partly because it was boring, and partly because I was doing it all on my own. As a new ministry is starting in this congregation and parish, I say to you all, listen. Listen to what has been read in Holy Scripture tonight. Study the word of the Lord. Be confident in it and don't be afraid nor discouraged. Let the light of Christ shine on your path so that in each circumstance you can praise the Lord. And be rooted in our Savior, knowing that by ourselves we can do nothing, but with him there is nothing that can't be done. And love one another. I gave up training for the marathon because I did it on my own. I ignored the advice offered by those who knew better than I. In the journey of faith as minister and people of God, we need each other for support, for encouragement, for guidance. We need to share the love and joy of Jesus. When Moses died, God spoke to Joshua and said, "Get my people ready and lead them to the promised land." And to you, Joshua, I say, may God bless you in your journey as you lead these, your people, towards the promised land. Amen. We're now going to say together the words of the Apostles' Creed, and if you can stand, I would ask you please to stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing and sing together, Be Thou My Vision.
Oh,
This congregation in charge of Kemney became vacant with the retirement of the Reverend John Renton. The congregation elected and called the Reverend Joshua Michelson, who served as interim pastor in the Methodist Church in the United States, to be its minister. The said election and call having been sustained by the presbytery, and all necessary steps having been orderly taken, the presbytery appointed this day for Mr. Michelson's induction, of which due notice was given. No one appeared to object to the life and doctrine of Joshua. Presbytery will accordingly proceed to induct him to this pastoral charge of Kemney after he has answered the questions appointed by the law of the church.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who, being ascended on high, has given gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ, we are met as a presbytery to induct Joshua Michelson to the pastoral charge of Kemney. In this act, the Church of Scotland is part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all people, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labour in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognising liberty of opinion in such points of doctrine as do not enter the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which the Church itself shall be sole judge. Joshua, it's now my duty to ask you these questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life?
I do.
Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the confession of faith of this church?
I do.
Do you acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the Word of God? And do you promise to be subject in the Lord to this presbytery and to the General Assembly of this church, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, government, and discipline thereof, and to cherish a spirit of love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ?
I do.
Are not zeal for the glory of God, love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire for the salvation of all people, so far as you know your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to enter into this ministry?
They are.
Do you engage in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to live a godly and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully to discharge the duties of your ministry, seeking in all things the advancement of the kingdom of God?
I do.
Do you accept and close with the call to be pastor of this charge of Kemney, and promise through the grace of God to study to approve yourself a faithful minister of the gospel among this people?
I do.
Joshua, as acknowledgement of the vows that you have just taken, you are now required to sign the appointed formula as a seal of the vows.
Before you sign it, I've got to read it too, so you know what you're signing.
Always a good idea.
The wording of the formula is as follows. I believe in the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the word of God, and promise that I will submit thereto and concur therewith. I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this church.
We continue the worship of God by joining together to sing the hymn, All I Once Held Dear. Shall we join together in prayer? Let us pray. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you call us in your mercy. You sustain us by your power. Through every generation, your wisdom supplies our need. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the apostle and high priest of our faith and the shepherd of our souls. By his death, he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, has poured out his Spirit, making some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all for the work of ministry and to build up his body, the church. As your servant Joshua listens with all God's people in this place to the living word and scripture and sacrament, may he joyously point to the source of their faith and grant and gather them round the table of the Lord. Standing with them under judgment, May he recall them to the purity of life in Jesus Christ. May Joshua be for all of us a source of strength and inspiration, that with him we may share in the ministry of Jesus Christ, bringing reconciliation to those who are divided, peace and healing to those who are broken, justice to those who are oppressed, and hope for those who are lost. Father, we ask you to receive these, our prayers for Joshua, whose calling is to pray for all, and with all your faithful servants, bring him at the last into your eternal joy. These things we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for us, rose again, and lives with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would everyone who's able please stand? Joshua, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and by the authority of this presbytery, I induct you to this charge of Kemney, and in token thereof, we give you the right hand of fellowship. Joshua, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please be seated. I now invite the congregation of Kemney Parish Church to please be upstanding and to answer these questions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as you receive Joshua Michelson as your minister, do you renew your allegiance to Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
We do.
Do you promise to share in the worship of the Church and to give generously for its work at home and throughout the world?
We do.
Do you undertake to support and encourage your minister by prayers and by your friendship?
We do.
Do you commit yourselves again to be witnesses for Christ in this community and to serve one another in love through the power of the Holy Spirit?
We do.
Please be seated. Joshua and I have a couple of things in common. We both used to be part of the Presbytery of Ayr, and we've both moved to the Presbytery of Gordon, albeit you took quite a detour. Yeah. But also both married. I have to say that my wife is never wrong. I have to say that. This has been recorded, apparently. She always tells me that I never appreciate how old I'm getting. Well, the last laugh will be on her, for my bus pass comes through in a few days' time and she's got to walk up Union Street. But I can appear on the television sometimes and they'll say, so-and-so of 55 years of age, and I'm looking at them, they're 55, I'm 45. Go and look in the mirror, dear, would you? So I go and look in the mirror. But I was getting worried about my understanding of age tonight until the presbytery clerk came to my rescue. He pointed out that you, Joshua, were not the guy with the Israelites in the wilderness. I thought, he doesn't look that old. We, your brothers and sisters in Christ in the presbytery of Gordon, Joshua, rejoice with you that through the love and mercy of God you have been called to minister in this parish. In the Church of Scotland, there was an old thing which sometimes comes in and sometimes is left out called the charges to the minister. Having spoken to the treasurer of the presbytery, I thought I'd better reinstate the charges. So roughly, he said it'd be about 350 quid for tonight, which is about $525. So if you just make the check out, that'll be fine. But apparently that's not right. Apparently it befalls to me to encourage you by some way of some charges. The snag with this is, I'm always reminded what somebody once taught me. When you point the finger, there's three pointing back. And I'm very conscious as I speak to you, Joshua, I'm speaking to myself and indeed to all the ministers within this presbytery. You'll be aware of the need to daily seek to be worthy of your calling as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ewan has already encouraged you to study his word. And through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we'd encourage you to build up the people within this congregation and parish in the faith of Christ. Encourage them in their prayer life and keep them before the throne of grace in your own prayers. Never forget that God has graciously given us his word, the Old and New Testaments, and the sacraments as well, appointed by our Lord, to enable his ministers to build up his people in their faith, enabling them to discern the difference between his eternal ways and the transient and ineffective ways of the world in which we are called to witness for him. Under the guidance, inspiration, and power of the Holy Spirit, speak, preach, and proclaim the active and living word of God, the Bible, showing your people the consistency of God's teaching and its relevance for our present time, and indeed for all time. As God loves you, so love his people and all within this parish. Hold out the word of life to one and all. Show his love to the vulnerable, the despised, those on the edge of society, and to those who regularly join in this place to worship him. As always, however, the best charge is found in God's word. As Paul wrote to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Joshua, may our glorious triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, inspire you to do all these things. And may he bless and enrich your ministry in Kemney as you faithfully honour his name. And as Ewan would say, don't try and do it all at once. Take your time. To the congregation, I would just say to you that you have called Joshua to be your minister. You have seen him inducted here this evening into this charge. And from now on, as has been hinted already this evening, a new ministry begins in Kemney, a minister of people of God, adherents, members, office bearers, elders, and minister. Ewan mentioned the encouragement that he felt was lacking by doing things on his own when he tried to run 26 and dear knows how many other miles. Your ministry should be a team ministry, working under the guidance and inspiration of God the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, our Saviour, and also the Holy Spirit, empowering you and inspiring you. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the sign of being his disciples is loving one another. And you heard Ewan eloquently express that thought from the pulpit tonight. We are to love one another as he has loved us, putting the needs of others before our own. Pray for each other and pray for Joshua. Bring each other to God's throne of grace on a daily basis. As you will look to Joshua for love, for guidance and support, so you should offer the same to him. Be united and work in harmony to fulfill God's will and purpose for his church within this place. Remember also, it's not your job to create unity in the church. That is the gift of God through the Holy Spirit. Your job is to keep the unity, that unity in which all God's people live and work. Use your gifts, your time, your money as God guides you for the advancement of his kingdom within this parish. Allow his light to shine through you so that others will be attracted to his light and come and seek him. Join week in and week out to worship the Lord in this place, to listen for his voice, and to apply what he teaches you and calls you to do in your daily living. As Scripture says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So I leave you with this final thought from Scripture. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God bless you, Joshua, Heather, and all the people within this parish. And to him be all the glory and the honour. Amen. Joshua, would you care to come up and receive some of the things that are going to be brought to you as part of ministry? We begin, I think, with the Bible.
Through Scripture, that we are called to be Christ's body, teach us the faith so that we may be true to the gospel.
Together, may we listen for the word of God.
Now a picture will be seen.
By water and the Holy Spirit, we are claimed as God's own. Renew us in our calling as servants of Christ in the world.
Together, may we live out our baptism as a loving community of Christ.
May we nurture one another in faith, uphold one another in prayer, and encourage one another in service.
In celebrating Holy Communion, we know Christ is present among us. Gather us round the table that we may be united as his body.
Together, may we celebrate the meal of the kingdom.
We shall always be ready to meet Christ in this place and show him in our lives the promise of his reconciliation.
Let us pray once more. Almighty God, who in your great mercy made glad the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence within us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, you've already heard all the prayers offered up so far for our brother Joshua. We pray for him again and for Heather, his beloved wife. We pray for them as one couple, as well as individuals. Minister to each of their needs, we pray. Grant each of them a daily outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that you may fill them with your grace and your mercy as they are confronted with the challenges of ministering for you within this place and within their individual lives. We claim for them, Father, your promise that nothing will ever separate them from your love in Jesus Christ, and that you will make them more than conquerors, as in your name they overcome all that comes their way. We pray for them not just for tonight, not just for the next 6 months or year, but throughout their ministry for you within this place or wherever you may later call them. Father, we pray again also for every single one of your people within this parish. Inspire and encourage them. Remove from them any inhibition that they may speak of you as naturally as they would speak of a loved one in their family. And may all that is done within this place under the ministry of Joshua be of an attractive nature that even people just passing by will come and say, "What's going on here? What am I missing out on?" We thank you, Father, for the ministry of John Renton and for others who have gone before him in keeping the gospel alive within this parish. And as the mantle was passed from Elijah to Elisha, may the mantle now be passed to Joshua, and through him bring your light to this place. Father, we remember those who love this church, but whose illness or frailty, burdens or duties prevent them from being with us this evening. Keep us united with them and with the faithful who built up this church in the past, and help us to hand to our children the heritage of faith, untarnished, undiminished. Bring us with all your people to the fullness of your eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I just have a short smile to myself as I was about to announce the final hymn. Having already said, my wife is always right, we're now going to sing one of the hymns sung at my wedding, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. It just shows I've got a good memory. It was last century we sang this at the wedding. Now, as you go back into the world, go and praise your Saviour by all that you say, think, and do. Go as living sacrifices for him, and allow him to work through you. And may the blessing of our glorious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, descend upon you and remain with you this night and forevermore.